let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, a shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together. I did it, did it, did it, let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it forever.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. I am Nikki. I am joined by my co-host that, you know, is the lucky one here right now. You will not see him during today's episode because, you know, he was too busy going to see some rock stars named Metallica.
I mean, there's no proof. There's no evidence that I went to go see Metallica, okay? I'm just a normal looking man. Yeah, check this out. Check it out.
Ooh, yeah, Metallica.
Don't rip the shirt, please.
Too late.
Don't rip the merchandise.
And then, you know, okay, I got the Metallica right there. And then, oh, Jesus, I can't do this without my head. And then, okay.
Oh, look at you.
I got the bandana. I basically, for these three pieces of clothing article, it only cost me four payments of $427.
Believe it.
Yeah. Let me tell you. Oh my God, Metallica.
Metallica rocks.
It was complete with
the pinky there.
Oh yeah, look at this. I am one fifth emo. Yeah.
I think we should. Oh. We got to back it up here a little bit. So.
It's me backing it up.
So today's guest is our first heavy metal band.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of heavy metal, what I don't recommend is dropping a heavy metal microphone stand on your foot. And
oh, no.
I'd show you a picture, but I feel like I could get good money for that. So I, you know.
Only feet.
Only feet. Sponsor us. Maybe not. That's nah. Just... But yeah, so anywho, I'd rather sell those pictures and just, you know, give them away for free.
Footsies.
But, you know, my foot was a victim of a microphone stand, and so is your emo pinky.
Yeah, my emo pinky. Check it out.
It's cute.
It's cute.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, I also dropped an iPad while you were away.
Oh my God.
And I saved its life at the expense of my toe.
Well, you know what they say. Do it for the pod.
Hashtag do it for the pod.
Hashtag.
So anyways, it went to market, which I mean, okay.
That took me a second.
So to be fair, I was like not that long ago old when I learned that this little piggy went to market means like it went to a slaughterhouse.
Oh.
So here I am expecting like a little Peppa Pig looking thing with like a shopping basket going to market.
No,
that motherfucker never came home.
He's ground pork, man. He's a sausage.
But you know what?
Ew.
It's sad.
Sad.
You want to know how sad it is? So sad that I should play a song on my world's littlest violin.
Oh my God. Where did you find one? I am jealous.
Look at
it.
That is incredible.
I knew you would like that.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh my God.
We could, between the little violin and your little harmonica.
Me wee harmonica.
That, oh God, that would be quite a...
No, yeah, we have a tiny little band.
That sounds like a little nightmare fuel, actually.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well.
There's the thing, the world's smallest violin, and I feel like I earned the right to have a song played on it for my toe, my feet aching over here.
I'm going to be very careful not to complain around you now. Because... Oh my God, I'll get the small tiny
violin. This bad boy's chilling right here.
Yeah. Well, guys, I just want to say thank you.
Actually, thank you to Franco O'Malley for stepping in your absence. Franco absolutely killed it. I could not have done it without him.
Right.
We also had another way behind the scenes. We had a guest that was on our show in what, season one?
Season two.
Yeah, couple episodes ago. So Derek the Acoustic, you're not going to see him, but he was actually hanging out here in studio too with all of us. We had a great time partying like rock stars while this motherfucker over here was just watching some.
I was chiseling the James.
No, you weren't.
No,
I wasn't. So, anyways, you won't see Derek the Acoustic, but I also need to give him a big shout out and thank you for also assisting Franco and I with this show. He really, really helped out a lot.
It's definitely not in our budget, but I'm thinking we need an intern. I think Derek's passed the interview process. Let's get him on board.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be a gopher.
That's
I don't
true.
Think he'll go for that.
You know, no, I am going for that. Yeah.
Reeling in Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates. Yeah, so I know if we had a bigger room, I would say let's get a third person here. Eventually, we'll see.
I think we need to have a source of income first before like we can convince another person to be here.
I don't know. If we keep collecting guitar picks from our band of musicians, we might be able to put them on eBay.
Yeah, no, we're not sellouts, dude.
It's true, we're not sellouts.
We're not sellouts.
No, we hoard all our stuff.
Yeah, we do. That's another reason why we're outgrowing the studio.
Hoard all.
Okay, you're making it just weird now, man.
Just stop. But no, Franco, man, thank you, guys. We had an episode early on, I believe it was episode 6 or 5 or something like that, with Franco O'Malley. He is such a cool dude. And I messaged him afterwards and said, like,
Franco is just a gem in this community as well. Like, he's so humble and he doesn't give himself the credit that he deserves. He needs to be recognized for all he does in this community here with all the musicians and supporting the music and all the musicians in this area.
I was talking to him afterwards. I'm like, Franco, you need your own podcast.
He does. He really does.
I pitched the first name. I don't know if you'll ever take it, but I'm like, Franco and Friends.
Yeah.
You know, come on, the FFs. But yeah, no, Franco's awesome. Thank you, Franco, for filling in for these shoes. But these shoes are quite stinky, so I appreciate you. And I am a little sad that I got to miss out. I'm a lot sad that I got to miss out on our first heavy metal band. But, you know, I know, you know, and you're about to know, that Franco rocked it, and you rocked it too, Nikki. So thanks again, guys. This will be fun for me because I'm going to, like you, audience, I'm going to watch it for the first time with you. So
buckle up, Buttercup. Let's get into it.
Let's get into this. Yeah.
In the studio today, we have Plungepool, a rock and metal band out of Montague, Massachusetts. Their debut album, Break the Surface, was released in October of 2022. Followed by their second album, Broken Crown, in July 2023. Their newest single, Walking Away, was released on streaming services July 12th of this year. They're currently finishing up recording of their third studio album. In the studio here, we have Cody, Connor, Corey, and Jim. Welcome to the studio! And we also have the man, the myth, the legend, Franco O'Malley!
That's right, I'm here. Yeah, excited to join Plungepool today.
Yeah.
Filling in for Chris Guerra.
There you go. That was good. Good roll there. So, yeah, we are Chrisless today. He is currently at a Metallica concert, you know, because he doesn't mention going to Metallica enough. I think every episode he's like, my first concert was Metallica. So, yeah, he is not with us today. He's alive. He's just not with us.
He's missing out.
He is missing out on all the fun.
Thanks.
So, all right. We have the band Plungepool with us here. Who wants to tell us how you guys came up with your name?
I'll leave that to you.
You explained it so good the first time.
Are you sure about
there
that?
Wasn't a first time.
There was never a first time.
We could do like the multi... like perspective, like they do in sitcoms. We could each do a cut of each of you telling the story.
That's not how it happened.
There's an idea. You probably remember it better than I do, but
that's debatable.
If it wasn't for those medley kids, we'd have a better name.
Right. It did take us a solid 3 months to find a band name that we thought was cool that wasn't already taken.
It's tough.
Yeah. But we came up with the name mutual of all of ours, Vendemers and myself, were watching Corey play his solo gig at a local bar, and Ben comes up to me like, hey, this term plunge pool means like a pool at the bottom of a waterfall, and I think it sounds pretty cool, like band name, and I agreed. And, you know, no one else had taken the name, so that's what we settled on.
I like it.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It only works.
Yeah. All right. Franco, you want to field a question?
I'd certainly love to learn a bit about your origin, other than the name. Like, what brought you guys together? Was there a different set of people that have replaced one another? Is this
all right? Let's go all the way back to the very beginning.
This is a long lore.
A long way back.
A deep lore.
And I'm gonna try to remember it as best as I can.
Chris needs to put in like a wavy effect in the post.
Everything's going to be in sepia.
All right, so we all went to Franklin Tech. We all graduated 2011. The very beginnings of what turned into this, I want to say, was freshman year. Jim would get off the bus at my house probably once or twice a week, and he had like this little tiny electric drum set that had maybe like four drums on it, and I had this cheap little guitar knockoff, and we would just write like random stupid songs that didn't make any sense, and I don't know, we did that for a couple years, and then where does it go from there? So that's the very beginning. And then Connor started playing bass.
Yeah.
Connor and I had been playing fairly quick after you got your bass.
Yeah. So I got a guitar for Christmas, like a $50 six-string guitar for my 15th birthday or Christmas after I turned 15. And then I got a bass the year after. Brought it to theater class one day.
Yeah, so that was junior year, right?
That was junior year, yeah.
And then, if I remember right, senior year is when Cody joined the fold for the first time, and we did the talent show, which was pretty cool. We played...
Yeah, they made us headline.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also all had music class together.
That's true, yeah. I think by senior year, Jim and I had two music classes, because we made sure to get all of our other academics done, so right. We could have two music classes.
So in this talent show, were you the only band?
No.
Nice.
But what did we play? We played Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith.
Ooh.
Come Together.
And War Pigs.
Nice. Wow. That's a solid lineup right there.
Now, did you do all the singing then?
Yeah, I could not scream back then.
And I was not very good back then. But, you know, we did it. And you get better as you go. That was a long time ago now.
And then we all kind of parted ways. You joined up in the army.
Yeah.
Well, before that.
Thank you for your
service. Before that.
I was out of the fold for several years after that, though.
Yeah. Cody and I had a little bit of a falling out for a little bit, but then Connor, Jim, and I were still trying to do some stuff with another guy, Jazz, where he was singing and I was just playing guitar doing backing vocals, and we went by the name Tempted. And nothing ever really materialized of that. We tried. We actually went through a couple other drummers too, because of Jim's availability at the time was really tough, and we were just trying to play music. So we tried a couple other drummers. None of them really ever worked out. And then Connor joined the army in 2016.
Yeah. Yep.
And so then that was kind of the end of that for a while, and Jazz and I tried to do some stuff off and on, and then we kind of lost contact. But then every time Connor would come home on leave from the army, we would get together and just like write songs and just hang out and stuff. And when Connor got out of the army for good, which was
April of 21,
then we kind of got serious about it, like, hey, if we're gonna do something, let's just do it. So we wrote a bunch of songs with really no intention of like ever performing live. It was just like writing and recording songs just to do it. And I happened to run into Jim at Walmart one day, and I was like, hey, me and Connor have been writing songs if you want to drum on them. And he's like, yeah, why not?
And at the time I was like in this other group too, since when we graduated high school, right?
Yeah. I kind of went the metal scene, and it was 8 or 9 years with this group, piece by piece. And then all of a sudden, we ran into Corey at Walmart. And I was like, hey, you want to jam? And I was like, yeah, why not, right? Let's get it back together. And then it kind of just kicked off, you know?
Yeah, so we got... So that's what turned into our first album, Break the Surface. We got all that recorded, and then we were like, hey, let's play these live. And in order to do that, we needed another guitarist. So that's when Cody re-entered the picture.
You guys had dropped Situations, and Connor had posted it in the Discord. And I was talking back and forth with him, and he was like, if you want in this, like... and try out and come to a jam.
I don't think it was a tryout. It was like, hey, do you want to be part of this?
I had a long disconnect with music for a while, and you guys kind of blew me back into that.
That's awesome.
Sorry. No, it was missing. It was a missing piece by piece.
Good. So you guys have known each other since... kids,
basically. Yeah. 2007, 2008,
you know? Yeah. So you're better part of 20 years. So yeah. you're as just as special as you are, like a cliche that you get like old friends that still play music together. But in the same way, I see how much you guys do, and it's like amazing. So you talk about all these songs that you write, and you've mentioned it to me. Can you tell us a little bit about that process that you guys have? Because it's amazing.
The songwriting.
Scary, but it's amazing.
There is no method to this madness of our songwriting process. Our songs come from everywhere. The first batch of songs that made Break the Surface was basically what Connor and I put together when he first got out of the Army. Mm-hmm. When we went to do our follow-up, Broken Crown, that title track was one that I threw together on an acoustic guitar. I recorded it in my phone. And I sent it to the group, and I was like, hey, this could be something. And then it turned out pretty damn good, I think.
Yeah, that came together probably the fastest of any of the songs, just randomly at practice.
Yeah, so that one was cool. That was a special moment for me to hear that finished product, because that was like the first one where it was like an idea was presented, and then everybody wrote their parts. And then it all just kind of came together and it fit.
I think the other one that came together that fast might have been Severed, because I sent you just the vocal melody.
That's true, yeah. Severed was like severed at the beginning, and then we kind of pieced it together. But like a lot of times, like, we'll each just write a song and then present it, and then we'll just like add to it. And like we tab it out, and then we make changes until we're happy with it, and then the lyrics typically go through a few revisions. And this album has been a process. I think that this album that we're working on now has been the most butting of heads that we've had so far, which is great because we're all really passionate about these songs and we want them all to be perfect. So I kind of embrace the disagreements.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the other ones, like a lot of the backlog is Connor and I will randomly send Guitar Pro files to each other. It's like, So this happened.
Hey, I had an idea. Hey, I had another idea.
Yeah, so we have enough song ideas for like a few more albums, because every time at band practice, when I'm taking too long to retune, Cody's writing a new riff, so... We have a backlog there, and then I still have a backlog of stuff that I've written in the past, and everybody does, so.
We did actually witness that while we were going through our technical difficulties. Yeah. You are a riff machine.
Thank you. It's a problem.
It's a good problem to have, my friend.
Good problem to have, yeah. So, I don't know, wanna do a song?
All right, this one's called Severed.
Waiting for it all to end. Just like it began. Mm-hmm.
wait another chance to squander any hope that I have left getting out from under. These dreams I have, they're turning into nightmares. I can't escape, they're slowly taking over. Just go away, wait for all you will. Just like it began, get a walk on next. The street in the silence of the perfect dawn. We'll have to fall, just need to suffer. My title might sever. Another night has come to pass, another morning after. Tries to suppress all of these thoughts, keep on getting darker. These dreams I have, they're turning into nightmares. I can't escape, they're slowly taking over. Just go away.
Say that in the microphone. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I gotta ask Corey, Cody, you had said earlier that you didn't scream back then. Where did you find your voice?
Ooh, great question. For a while, for the financial institution that I work for, I was the courier during the height of COVID. And I was like, what am I gonna do in this van for several hours? Well, I've always wanted to scream. So I started learning how to fry scream, so they would see, you know, a van with the logo of the bank on it, and just some kid in the driver's seat going, "Ah!"
Was that like a YouTube thing where you, like, I've seen the videos,
the instructions, and it's like, I've done some courses, or the free versions of courses through, like, an email list. If you've heard of the band Tala, I'm subscribed to Justin Bonnet's Patreon, so I'm doing some of those, because he is actually a vocal coach. And that dude sounds like he walked out of an asylum. So I'm working on, like, shaping my tone a little bit more now and, like, getting better with lows and
awesome
fun stuff like that. And learning what it feels like when I know I'm doing it wrong and not doing that.
That seems like it'd be a problem that doesn't correct itself easily.
Pretty early, it's just like I'm learning anything, but pretty early on I was like, oh, something's not right that I'm doing, and once you learn what that feeling is and how to move your body around it, you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. I don't feel, like, super tired afterwards or, like, really hoarse. Mind you, the weather hasn't helped, but...
Oh, no, probably not.
No. And I have allergies.
I was just going to say, allergies as well.
Yeah, tis the season. So, what's one of the craziest things that you've ever encountered at a gig? Oh, why are you still laughing? Oh, boy.
Which there were a few I left off this.
Remember, we're not censored here, so how about it?
I mean, I can go first.
I think we can have
it. It might be the same one. While we were at a very, very small venue,
yes.
We opened set two with Come Together, and this group of two couples kind of came really close up to where we were kind of set up to start dancing and yelled, "We're going to come together," while we were playing Come Together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That was a time.
Music is powerful.
Music is very powerful.
There was this time where Corey and I were playing a solo acoustic set, and everything was fine. This lady walked in, right, with a date.
Yep.
And dancing to our stuff. All of a sudden, things took a turn out of nowhere. It's like, you know, when you're drinking for a while, you start to show that you're getting drunk. It was just an instant, she's messed up. Out of nowhere.
Like, she couldn't sit up. She didn't know where she was.
Oh,
and so
did she not get like? Did she get drugged? That's what it's saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is what happened.
Oh my god!
And so the date was panicking because he, I guess, didn't know that he was giving her that much. So I, you know, it seemed like he just wanted to.
Wow.
Do enough, but like it was just instant. Like as soon as she had that drink, she was like. They're trying to force her to drink water. She didn't know what was going on. It was something.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That's terrifying.
So absolutely. I guess if you're going on a first date with somebody,
I mean, just don't
trust
her.
Just
be careful.
Don't
date.
Don't date.
Don't date.
That's, yeah.
If you're going to date, don't drug your date.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Plain and simple.
It just, you know,
be a good person.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, all of us in the band are married, as I sit here telling you not to date.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you're going on a first
date.
Don't
date. It leads to marriage.
Marriage is the leading cause of divorce. Something my platoon sergeant used to say.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, if you're going on the first date, just like, you know.
I think it was Rodney Dangerfield that used to say 50% of marriages end in divorce. You could be one of the lucky ones. The point is, we're all happily married.
Yeah.
And that is the sentence.
The sentence.
Yeah. Edit out all the other stuff.
Yes. It's a trap. So, okay, I guess this is a question that we can do individually. Kind of go down the line here, but... living or dead, somebody that you would like to collaborate with. Who wants to go first?
I know my answers.
All right.
If I was to choose someone that passed, Chester Bennington.
Yes.
Mm. If I were to choose some artists that were living, I would love to sit down with Mike Stringer of Spirit Box. That dude's just... like, he does a bunch of the work on Spirit Box's albums. He does a lot of the, like, synth stuff and the backing stuff, as well as writing a bunch of the riffs. And he actually does backing screams. Not that Courtney LaPlante needs it, but, like, he's an all-around powerhouse. So I'd love to sit with Mike.
Awesome. Let's go next.
I think... if I could collaborate with any musician, living or dead, it's Ryan Martini from Mudvayne.
Yeah.
Because that man is just unreal with what he can do with bass. With struck chords and everything. But I don't think I know any musicians that have passed that would top that, personally.
All right, well, for someone who has passed on, I would pick Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Because he could cover all of the musical styles that I like to do.
there'd be a wide range there, so that'd be a lot of fun. And then for living, I would go with Miles Kennedy and Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Solid choice, solid choice. I think for me, I would have to say one of my favorite drummers is Neil Peart.
Nice, nice.
He's always been a big influence for myself and my drumming. But I feel like presently it has to be two from Sleep Token.
Yeah.
Because I would love to go kit by kit, side by side, and just have a duel. Like, it'd be just
insane. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And nice shirt.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Cody.
You're very welcome.
Represent.
I've been hearing that band's name come up quite a bit lately. Yeah.
My wife and I went to the Radio City show. That was legitimately life-changing.
That's awesome. All right. So, what are some of your biggest musical influences?
I think everybody that we just said.
Yeah.
No, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot, same answer.
A lot
I
of
pick
that.
C.
C.
Yes, obviously, like, a lot of the early 2000s and, like, 2010s, like, alt punk and metal scenes for me. The biggest musical influence for me is probably AFI, just because they're my favorite band.
I love AFI.
I love them so much. If I'm thinking about, like, some of my own personal stuff where I'm doing more composing, it'd be like Koji Kondo.
All right. Give the people another song.
All right.
All right.
All right. So this next one we're going to do, this is the first song that we ever released as a band. This one's called Situations.
My heart's beating, running fast as I can. Seems for repeating, I'm yawning, running again. I've risked it all, time and time again. Here I come, full steam ahead. Now I seem to end up in these situations. Seems I'm doing it again. Yeah, yeah. Look at all the different faces. In broken eyes and broken dreams, I guess that's what's become of me. This time has gone too far. There's no retreating. I've gone and fucked it all. I've risked it all. Time and time again. Here I come full steam ahead. This storm is not breaking. Now I seem to end up in these situations. Seems I'm doing it again, yeah, yeah. Look at all the different faces. In broken eyes and broken dreams, I guess that's what's become of me. We'll be right back.
seem to end up in these situations. Seems I'm doing it okay, yeah, yeah. Look at all the different faces. Little broken eyes and broken green eyes that have become a moon. Become a man. With broken eyes and broken dreams, I guess that's what's become of me.
Woo!
Awesome.
Thank you. So that one was off one of your first.
Yeah, that's off our first album, Break the Surface.
That is the first song we ever released.
Now, you guys have recorded quite a bit over the last couple of years. What's that process? Do you guys do that all together, or how do you?
No, actually. So when the songs are written and they're ready to go, we do a scratch track. Typically, we take the Guitar Pro session that's all tabbed out because you can like get the MIDI notes just to get like what the song is supposed to sound like. We import that into a Logic Pro session, and then we have Jim come in with his kit. We get it all hooked up, and then we get the drums laid out. We get the drums recorded, edited, all that stuff done, and then we'll lay down rhythm guitars, and then we lay down the lead guitars, get all the editing done, lay down the bass, and then we go into the vocal layers, and then once that whole process, once the song is recorded, then like any synth layers, sound effects, stuff like that. Once it's all recorded, then I go in and I mix it, typically a couple revisions till we're all happy with it. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it goes real fast. It all depends on like, you know, when we're free throughout the week.
Also depends on the song.
That too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it, but it's one place you all do the recording or you?
Yeah, built a little studio in my basement. So we do everything there right at my house.
And I remember back from your episode, you said you master everything, you know, for your own personal stuff. And so I'm assuming also for the band.
Yeah.
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 Which I do have to say the first time that I listened to Severed, as soon as I heard that intro, I was like, whoa. And I thought I never would have thought you touched that. That someone that I knew touched that and mastered it because it sounded clear and pristine, like better than most things that you
Thank
hear
you.
In the first place. So.
And what's crazy is it sounds even cleaner on album 3.
Yeah, he's getting pretty good at mixing and mastering it.
Yeah, what I like about our albums is as we go through the process, my skills are improving with the mixing and mastering side of things. So it's kind of like a journey to listen back. Because like I love how all of them sound, but like If I were to go and redo those albums again, they would sound nothing like they sound, which, I mean, it kind of gives it, like, the vibe of the album, whereas, you know, the first album, Break the Surface, is kind of raw, because I didn't really know what I was doing. And then it gets a little better on Broken Crown, where I'm starting to figure it out, and now with this one, it's like, okay, I know what I'm doing, and now it's just, like, getting the skills up to the level that they need to be at, where, as a mixing engineer, I can compete with the Chris Lord Algies of the world.
Awesome, man. You certainly do great work. So.
Thank you.
It's kind of like night and day, you know, compared to the first album. It's so different. You know, it's... Good job. You're learning a lot. Which it's showing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can kind of say the same for, like, even this podcast. It's like I listen back to some of the first episodes compared to, like, where we're at now, and I'm like, the glow up is real.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's the only way you get better at something is by doing it.
You gotta keep doing it.
Absolutely. Like, I listen back, like, to my old recordings of, like, when I was first learning how to play guitar and sing, and, like, I would just, you know, record a demo on a tape, and I sounded like shit.
And I hope those tapes never get leaked.
We all start somewhere. It matters where we finish, I think, more. So
yeah.
Where we begin.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know what? I have another question that we can all do individually here. What's you guys' dream venues to play at?
TD Garden.
Keep it local.
Sell out the garden. I was going to say, like, right now, the dream for me is a little, like, is that small dream of, like, I just want to play, like, somewhere like the Palladium with a bunch of really cool bands that I've never heard of. Radio City's after that, you know? Like, I just want to hit the Palladium with a bunch of weird people.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the roots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is something I haven't put a whole lot of thought into, because I was just, for a long time, I was just like, hey, I want to play on a stage. And then we did that in May, so.
Yeah. Like, mission accomplished.
Right.
Connor has achieved his lifelong goal.
Aim small, miss small.
Yeah.
I like that. That should be on a t-shirt or something. All right.
I don't know. I agree with Jim. I'd like to play the garden.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Awesome.
You guys do put out so much work, and even like I've seen some of the promotions you put in for your gigs that you have, and some of them are pretty damn comical.
Thank you.
So there's so much that goes into everything. Where do you guys want to be in the grand scheme of things? What are your aspirations?
I think
you could say world domination. No one's going to hold it against
you. Big picture is world domination, but I think if we're thinking realistically for in terms of like 2025, I think just playing once a month, continuing to get our names out there, get people to hear our music, just grow a fan base, and then honestly just kind of see where it leads organically. I mean, yes, world domination, but I think if we can consistently play as a band once a month, just to not oversaturate the market, but be out there so people know who we are and they know what we sound like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like you just want that constant steps and progression.
Yeah, just keep doing
those
it.
Those leaps and bounds. To
I mean, if something happens, great, but yeah, it's yeah. not going to happen if we don't put the work in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nothing is just going to fall into our lap. I mean, if it does, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, like, nothing happens if nothing happens, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm excited to check out different venues around here, too.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, I think the goal for next year is to expand the number of venues that we're performing at. And, like, if we stick to once a month, you know, it's not going to be overkill for any of us. And we can continue to build whatever the brand that this is turning into. Because it's definitely a thing. I feel like we don't take ourselves seriously, but at the same time we take it very seriously.
Makes sense.
We have a way of doing things while having fun. Like, and not, I can't speak for you, but overburning ourselves out. Like, the goal for me is comfort and, like, again, playing with cool people that I've never heard of. Like,
I've been burnt out since 2020.
Yeah, I am aware.
You are the busiest man, one of the busiest men I know in the music industry, in this local scene.
How did you describe that? The hardest working musician you know?
The hardest working musician that nobody has ever heard of.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
I mean, Franco, we could say the same for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You do a lot of stuff for the community. Take credit for it.
Yeah, seriously. Don't sell yourself short, man. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm not that tall.
Damn it.
It's like, I can't stand it. Just sit down. So do you have any advice for any musicians just starting out?
Yeah. I mean, I have a ton. I'm going to look at Corey when I say this, though. Don't burn yourself out. You can't give what you don't have. If you put that spark out, you're going to start resenting the stuff that you love.
I agree to a point.
Don't stop. Yeah,
that is my advice. If you start playing, chances are when you first start, it's not going to sound the best. Don't let people discourage you. Don't give up.
Don't
just keep going. Don't listen to the noise.
Even if your parents say no to drumming, drum anyway.
It's not a phase, Mom.
It was literally never a phase.
On top of that question, where you had mentioned playing once a month in the venues, what do you have for advice for bands that are starting out? Because I know in the last 10 years, post-COVID too, there's fewer and fewer venues, especially in this area.
So yeah.
You guys must be needing to...
I mean, if anybody has any advice for us, I'll take it. I feel like with some of the stuff that we play, I feel like we've had a hard time finding the right venues for us.
Exactly.
So if anybody out there is watching this and you like our stuff, reach out.
I was going to say most of our connections at this point have been places like these two have played.
Yeah. Cause like booking solo acoustic shows and booking for a metal band
two
completely different worlds. Totally different. It's a different set of people. There is some overlap, but like, it's different venues. Like, not a lot of venues.
Different demographics.
Do both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, so many venues will have gone from live music to no live music, or maybe just the acoustic
right
guy or duo. But it's a changed time.
Yeah. So I feel like our biggest challenge so far has been reaching the right people with our songs. Because there is a market for it.
Are there any venues in the local area that you're like, God damn it, we got to get in there, and you're not getting what you need? Is there something that we need to put a call to action, like people, get us in here?
Everywhere. All of the venues.
All of them. I don't care if it's a country club.
The country club might care if you play there.
But it'd be funny.
How about a senior center?
Yeah.
A nursing home.
I'm really I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm sure at some point in time I'm going to find myself in a senior home.
I play a nursing home once a month, and one person did request Metallica one time, so we're almost there. It's almost on market.
That's amazing.
Another 10 years will be good.
I was really I'm looking forward to like the old ladies that really get down with the gangster rap.
Yeah,
and they're dropping F bombs and everything.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
I want another song.
Okay.
We want more.
All right, this one's called Broken Crown. Suffer like you do, knowing damn well there is not a thing that I could ever do. Take away the pain, watch you fall apart again. Sit in silence with these parasitic thoughts I cannot shake. What could I deserve? In the outcome of it all, when the kingdom crumbles down, there's no one left to stand on the broken ground. See your falling grace, such a tragic set to tell. Everybody knows the sunshine lasts to stand on the story goes. Have spoken up, and all the trouble started up when you let a stranger in and said that it's someone we could trust. Hid behind a mask like a wolf wearing a coat made out of wool, but the truth started slipping through the cracks, and the chewing tension started to show. What could I do? Change the outcome of it all. When the kingdom crumbles down.
such a tragic tale to tell. But everybody knows sometimes that's just how the story goes. But even after things started falling apart, you still defended you. You tried to pretend it all the problems really were real. You gave you a chance to prove us wrong, but you never looked like. Now there's no one left to stand beside you. Stand beside you. Whoa.
I said, did you practice between your last song and this one?
Well, shockingly, yes.
We cut that out.
Yeah. The, you know,
movie magic,
exactly. All right. So, I just lost my questions. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've lost my mind.
Yeah. I mean, we're all mad here. Can you share a moment where you feel like you've made, like, a significant impact on someone's life or, you know, just anything, like, along those terms?
As far as our music goes?
Yeah.
Actually, I can pinpoint, like, kind of two moments. One within the band and one, not at a recent show, but not that far back. A mutual of Connor and I's. Had shown up to a show we were playing first time at our venue, or not your first time. They had rebuilt, and you had played there before. I can't remember where that is. They had burnt down. Is it the Onion?
Oh, yeah, the Otter River Pub. Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't that one.
Oh, another place burnt down.
Not that I know of.
I could be conflating the
Scratch
two.
That, start over.
Yeah. regardless of where, a mutual of Connor and I's had approached afterwards to, like, offer any help, but he had said that, I Can't Stand Myself off of album 2 got him through a very, like, tumultuous point in his life. And I was like, oh my, wait, I did it. Like, we did
it's
it.
Like, really honest.
Yeah. Like, we actually did the thing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then, as far as interband goes, I had shared a song I had been writing that, like, had really affected me. Like, it was a really dark point in my life far, far, far long ago. I shared the words with Corey kind of very daintily. I was like, this is heavy stuff, like, really, really heavy stuff, but I want you to look at this. And turns out he had a similar experience on the opposite, like, from the opposite perspective, so... I felt like I actually made a difference there, too.
Love
that. That one will be on album 4.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Franco. Any other questions or anything?
I have a ton of questions, and I just kind of taken off the spot because it was just such a great story.
It was, yeah. Like I said, I had legit goosebumps when you mentioned that.
Thank you. I did in the moment.
I didn't even know that story. That's new to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, on the other end of it, where or what time in the music in your life were you impacted where I was like, you were really, this is who I am. Was there that moment where I was like, yep, I'm a musician.
Oh, God. Yep.
Like, yeah.
Every day there's the, I'm giving up.
that one hits close to home for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think probably after everything opened back up after COVID. Because I don't know, I was playing out on a somewhat consistent basis pre-COVID. Nothing crazy like I'm doing now, but like, you know, one or two a week. And then when COVID hit, everything stopped and I was stuck at home. I was like, what am I doing? So that was kind of like when I realized that I needed the music. Because being stuck at home all day was great for the first 5 hours. Yeah. but like when things started opening back up and like I started doing all my acoustic shows, like it got to a point where I had to start saying no because I was getting so many phone calls to play, which is an amazing problem to have as a musician. But it was at that point where it's like, okay, this is me. This is my life. This is just what I do. And, like, I love doing the solo acoustic thing, but there is no other feeling like getting on stage with your friends who are family at this point and just, like, playing these songs that we've written and playing these covers that we all love. And just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
No notes, I agree.
There is something immensely special about it that, for those that never experience it, like I feel for it. I have the empathy for it.
There's two things everybody should do once in their life, and that is play music and work in retail.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or food industry.
No.
Right.
Did I ever tell you that I can't get hired by any Staples in the country now?
Whoa, there's a story.
So there is a story with that. And I don't know
if I'd get in trouble for... Well, I'm in cats out of the bag already. So I worked at a Staples for 4 or 5 years, and I left Staples to join the Army. So that should tell you a lot about working at Staples. Which one?
At the headquarters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
hated it.
Yeah, my vacation request. Yeah, my vacation request got denied 4 years in a row, so I left and joined the Army. But the last weekend I was there, I printed a bunch of 2x3 labels that say "Warning: Item may cause a cheek pull," and just put them on chairs, toilet papers. I put a couple in random spots in the break room, but this got discovered. When one of the managers tried to sell the one mahogany chair that we had on display, and they flip it over and it says "warning item" because they cheap pull right next to the UPC. So yeah, I can't work at any Staples again.
You've been blacklisted.
I have been blacklisted. Yeah.
Today's episode is sponsored by Staples.
Yeah.
Oh, the amount of those buttons I see in the clearance.
I had my time at Staples was defined by what I call boner bills. If you take a $1 bill and you look at the back of it, it says quote NE. So you would be in an R on there. And so I would just get $1. Like, I mean, you're playing out, I'd play out to twice, three times a week back then. It would be, get a few tips, dollar bills, and I would just all of them.
and I'll spend them back in the lunchroom at Staples or the call the school store. And every now and again, one of my friends would be like, "I got a boner bit."
That's that awesome. Like, hey, who knows? Maybe there you'll find one in circulation still.
I have a whole stack in my house.
We all could. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. Nobody knew where that story was going, did they?
No. Oh, I mean, we went from one extreme to the other, I think.
It was harassment of state.
Yeah, that's fine.
We should write a song about it.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
The retail experience, I will agree.
The voice of reason.
Yeah.
That should not be the queer hit in the corner.
I feel like
since when did Cody become the voice of reason?
Because if we wrote a song,
the door opens and Weird Al pops in. Hey, Dwayne.
If we wrote a song about Staples, we'd probably get sued for defamation.
Yeah, that's why I said the retail experience.
Yeah.
Is where it can stay.
Yeah.
Instead of...
Just don't drop any names.
How was other people? That was easy. No, we had to replace that. Corey told me to do my homework, and that was not copyright free. Or royalty free, so...
That reference will make sense at some point.
Oops, it's our heaviest song.
Yeah, just sneak that in there.
Somebody might watch this back someday when the new album's out and then be like, oh,
have an aha
I
moment.
Get it now.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah. That was easy. All right, well, I don't know, do you guys have one more song, maybe? And then probably wrap it up?
Sure.
All right, this one is called This Passing.
awesome.
That song means the world to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's a great way to kind of conclude everything here. So, you want to just let everyone know where they can find you guys?
Yeah, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff. Plunge Pool Band. And you should find us that way. And you can find all of our music on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, whatever YouTube streaming service you use. We should be there.
Awesome. All right, so...
Excuse me. We took your breath away, huh?
Yeah.
Rico has a hairball. All right. Well, Plunge Pool, thank you so much for coming in. I know we had some technical difficulties and made this, you know, longer than it should have been, but thanks so much for coming out. And Franco, thank you so much for stepping in for Chris.
You're welcome.
So you're okay.
Yes.
You're having a moment.
We are okay. We promise.
All right. And you
Let's
guys.
Let's cut it so I can cough again.
Sensational.